الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، ثم أما بعد. First of all, they came to know each other, and then they proposed, and then they, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, they got engaged, then they got married, they had a wedding party, the walima, now they are at home already, they're exercising their rights and obligations, and their obstacles on the way starts coming up and appearing. Men complaining, women complaining. What is going on? I mean, I thought you loved me. He said, I do love you, but you don't. So who said that? And he starts complaining and fighting about love. What is the case of love? How do we speak the language of love? I mean, if she says that you, for example, the man, he says, I love you so much. And usually women, and this is actually naturally, a natural response from women. Usually, if a man, you know, gets into, let's say, discussion with his wife, and then the wife gets upset, then the man, he comes after her saying, by Allah, I swear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I love you. She would say, you're lying. And she would give him, of course, an example, saying, if you really love me, take the trash out. What's the doesn't click in the mind of the man? I mean, what's the connection between love and taking the trash out? For women, that means a lot. It means you really care. It means that you really just, you know, you're taking some of your time to help them, even if you just take the trash out. So, which means that men and women, when they communicate love to each other, they speak different languages. And this, inshallah ta'ala, is going to be the chapter about how to communicate love to our spouse. Okay. Love after wedding. When people get married, as I said, it takes time, of course, for the cycle of love or in-love syndrome, of course, start fading out slowly until they realize the reality of marriage. And welcome to the reality of marriage, when again, shoes don't move themselves to the closet, and the jackets don't hang themselves into the closet, and dishes do not move themselves to the sink. This is the reality of marriage. So people, they realize that something wrong is going on. How can we understand this? And inshallah, this chapter is going to be about understanding the right communication between the husband and wife. We're going to discuss love after the wedding, understanding differences, the many different languages of love. Starting with love after the wedding. If you ask most couples who get divorced in the West, why did they get divorced? Or why did they divorce after, for example, so long, especially cases that might last 7 years, 7 years in marriage, 10, 15, 20. Primarily, they would say, there is no love in this marriage. I mean, we lost it. We don't belong to each other. There are a lot of differences and so on. And that's why we see that the rate of divorce in the West is actually high, because they base their marriages on love. In Muslim societies, the base of marriage is not just love. It has another component with it that came in the ayah, which is in Surah Ar-Rum. Mawaddatan wa rahma. And we said that. They might lose love at the beginning of their marriage, but because of their kids, what did they do? They decide to stay together. So we're going to work it out as much as possible. And they try their best to work things out as much as possible. Not because they love each other, it's because they just, you know, have mercy for one another. And they maintain this family life until probably they both die. Is it going to be easy for them? No, it's going to be tough. Can they survive? Can they maintain a limit of love, for example? Yes, they can. If they can communicate these, of course, languages of love, inshallah ta'ala. So men, they should not, you know, live that dream. And women, the same thing. Don't dream about, mashallah, a heavenly bliss. That you're living just now, you know, in your marital life, it's going to be just like being in al-Jannah, in paradise. No, it's not in paradise. It's on earth. And earth was created from what? What is earth anyway? It's dirt. And the Arabic poetry says, جُبِلَتْ عَلَى كَدَرٍ. It means it was created from what? From dirt. So how do you expect this life to be clear from any dirt? You're going to always have that dirt on the way. So you need to prepare yourself for that. All the speech that we gave about love and romance and stuff like that and so on, we're being good to reality right now, inshallah ta'ala. Does marriage kill love? That's the question. Some people, they say, especially in Western philosophy, they say yes. And also some even Arab poets, actually, they say it does kill love. And that's why they consider that the romantic love, the way I described it at the beginning of the seminar, is the love that always that carries pain with it. And this romantic love should not end with marriage. And usually the romantic love ends with people, they marrying somebody else. And they always keep, you know, thinking about the beloved ones that they married in their lifetime. Here now, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that إِذَا وَافَقَ مُرَادَ الْمُحِبِّ فَإِنَّهُ يُقَوِّ الْمَحَبَّةِ. Says marriage should not kill love if the intention of both parties, you know, was sincere, and if they meet the needs of each other in this marriage, they would. He said, as a matter of fact, it increases love between them. The problem with people when they get married, that when they get married, they think that they have taken their spouse for granted. Which means what? We got married, she's going to love me forever. And the husband on the other side, well, he thinks that she knows that I love her so much, without any of even telling her that. So he doesn't say, I love you, doesn't try to express that. It's just that she knows that I love her. How do you know that? Well, I mean, she knows that I struggle in this life. For whom? For her. So they take each other for granted. Alhamdulillah, we got married. And they don't know that sometimes, you know, things come in, you know, on the way that might cause divorce. There's also a stereotype about marriage and love. How love is defined over here. In most cases, people, especially men, when they define love in marriage, actually they define love as intimacy. So when they don't find intimacy or intimate relationship, here basically intercourse, when they start feeling that their spouse, their wives are not enjoying, they're not into it, they're trying to avoid, they're trying to, you know, they always complain that, you know, I'm tired, this and that and so on, they start feeling that, you know, they're losing the love. Because their definition of love is different than the definition of love for women. And women usually, they consider intercourse actually, or this intimate relationship, as a reward to be given to the man. And that we can describe this later, inshallah ta'ala. Now, how do you communicate love to your partner? You know that love has different languages. And each language has also different dialects. So the Arabic language has hundreds of dialects. English language also has different dialects. Any language has different dialects. Same thing with love. So if you both are in love, you probably speak in a different language of love. And even if you speak the same language of love, you might be speaking different dialects. So don't expect from your spouse the same, you know, the same thing that you do. So if you, for example, if you love, let's say, romance, and you love, for example, intimacy, and you love the relationship, you know, in bed and so on, that doesn't mean that your wife has to love that to express her love to you. She might express her love in a different way. So you have to understand the different languages of love. And we have a special chapter, inshallah, to describe that. To rationalize love in marital life, people, they still believe and think that love is an emotion, which means it's something in the heart. It's volatile, keeps you jumping up and down. So they feel happy when they are cherished and the love, you know, is increasing. And they feel bad when they think that the love is actually withdrawing from their hearts. People, they need to rationalize love. Love is a practical thing to do. And when I say practical thing to do, it means it's actually a way of life. It's a style. Plus, it always starts with an attitude. Love always starts with an attitude. So again, love is actually, it starts with attitude. It means it's a choice. Nobody can force you to love anybody. But if you fall in love, you're out of control. Therefore, it's a choice. You can choose to love your spouse the way he or she is. And you can simply just say, you know what, that's it. I'm not going to even allow myself to love this person. So at the beginning of marriage, I would request from both parties to allow yourself to enjoy the relationship with your spouse and open your heart to love them the way they are. I remember people coming to complain that, you know, they keep complaining about their spouse. The man complaining about his wife. She doesn't do that, she doesn't understand this, and so on. At the end, you know, my advice to those people usually is, Ya akhi, brother or sister, you know, don't have that mindset template about your spouse, that he has to be in that pattern. You cannot have this person. Never have in mind, let's say, a template about the spouse that you love to have. People, they usually they draw a picture. And that picture includes perfection in everything. She has to be beautiful. She has to be smart. She has to be rich. She has to be this. She has to be that. They have everything. It's just like, you know, some people even they want to marry, for example, mashallah, a righteous woman. And we just, you know, some probably heard the story before. So they go after women who are very religious. And then at the end, of course, when they find the one that they're looking for, she has her own, of course, you know, conditions and terms. So he's looking for Sahabiya, and he finds that she is looking for a prophet. So don't expect too much. I mean, be reasonable in your expectation, and that's why, what does it mean to rationalize your love? Part of rationalizing our love is to understand our differences. I'm sure you know this title actually. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said, خَاطِبُ النَّاسَ بِمَا يَعْقِلُونَ, that when you talk to people, talk to them, you know, according to their ability of understanding. And this also is applied to men and women. Men have, of course, different nature than women. Is that men, of course, you know, they like to hang out with their friends and they like to relay information. They are into, you know, let's say, logic and rational relationships and so on. Women, probably the opposite. They would like to be emotional, and they would love to have to socialize, not just to hang out, you know, for the sake of watching, for example, a game or something like that. No, they want to sit together. So they want to share, for example, a cup of coffee together. And there's a different concept between men sharing a cup of coffee and women sharing a cup of coffee. If a man asks you to share a cup of coffee, it means he wants you for probably an advice or a formal session or something, you know, that it's informative. But when women, they ask for a cup of coffee to come together, they're talking about socializing. And this is one of the differences between men and women. When men actually start, when men usually talk, if you have a group of men talking, you usually see one man talking and the rest of the group listening. But when you see women talking, you'd see more than one woman talking at the same time. And this is not a deficiency. No. The reason is because men, they consider talking means giving information. And when someone is talking, he's giving information that I need to listen to analyze and see if I can give a response to that. But for women, when they talk, they're not necessarily relaying information. They're just sending emotional messages or socializing. That's it. They talk. So they have the ability to talk, so they will be talking on this side. And they hear someone saying something there, so they immediately turn there and they said, yes, and I was there too. And then they keep going on. Men cannot do that. They just cannot do it. Men are known to be focused. So that's why I'm saying, you know, men, if you ask a man to do two things at the same time, he would ruin everything. They try to chase two rabbits at the same time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created women to have the ability to actually to be like a radar. They take actually, you know, from all sides. A radar actually that takes you from all sides, because she can focus on different issues at the same time. So that's why you see her, subhanAllah, in the kitchen. She's taking care of the food, taking care of the kids, answering the phone, doing so many things on the same time. Wallahi, I tried to help my wife. That happened actually last month. I tried to do the way she does, you know. So I was helping her in the kitchen, and she was talking on the phone. She said, be careful, don't burn this thing. I burned it. Wallahi, she reminded me probably 2-3 times. But because I had to check the oven and check the pan up there, and then one of my children was calling over there, I just forgot about the one on the top. I completely forgot. She came and she just looked at it and said, I told you. So you cannot do it. And that's true. I said, well, I don't know. I just tried to do everything at the same time. She said, I know you guys, you cannot do that. So you have to be focused. When you do something, just finish it first and then look at the other one. But I try to be smart to finish things, you know, at the same time. Men, they're focused. Women, mashallah, they have this different ability, of course. So you need, of course, to know the differences, how men they react to these issues and how men they react to the other part of it. Okay, what about understanding, you know, the different values? When it comes to relationships or achievements or values in life, what usually men value is things, you know, to prove themselves. How do men prove themselves? They prove themselves through achievements, mainly through achievements. So if you see your husband usually comes, at home after, of course, a long day of work, he's basically trying to brag about his day. He's saying that he made all of this. He just basically was spending all day for you. He's achieving everything for you. And that's how when men and women communicate and start, you know, complaining, the woman, she complains about her husband, saying, you go out at 6 o'clock in the morning and you come out at 10 o'clock in the evening. The kids, they don't see you, they get to talk to you, and so on. The man gets basically upset and he says, SubhanAllah, I'm doing this all for you. And he's also thinking that this is now something to brag about and be happy about, be proud of it. Achievements, that's what men likes to see. Achievements, they're so proud of, you know, they like dominance and power. They also love, of course, you know, strength and might. And that's why you see that men, they usually care about their muscles. They always care about, of course, you know, being in high positions. They love actually to give orders and commands. See that also at home. So when the husband gives commands, it's just he's exercising his nature. Basically, he likes to give commands. He's not necessarily abusing his wife. It's just he's acting normally. So he gives commands. He might not do it in the right way, but this is something natural that he does. And we see that, and therefore men, when they go and shop for things, they like to shop for the things that satisfy their ego with these issues. So about magazines, have you ever seen a man grabbing a magazine, like, for example, Women First? Unless he's watching, you know, looking for the pictures. Or probably People. Men usually don't buy those magazines. But ask them, what do they buy? They look for the computer stuff, technology, politics, cars, things like that. Tools, you know, anything that satisfies their ego, achievements. But they're not interested in those, you know, magazines that speaks about, you know, this celebrity was cheating on his wife and this one is pregnant because of this guy and all these kind of things. I mean, come on, who's watching this anyway? They don't care about these issues. Again, some men might do that. But generally speaking, men, they have different, of course, approach to these issues, different values. How about women? The values that women appreciate, all around emotional values and social values. So when you say social values, so they like actually, when they come and sit together, as I said, men usually talk about their achievements. But women, they just try to sympathize and, you know, share thoughts, share ideas, share problems. Just basically they talk for the sake of, you know, feeling comfortable and just relieving that, themselves and venting the pressure that they have. So just for the sake of communication, not for the sake of sending information. So when the man and his wife come together at home and try to speak, they don't really communicate very well. Because what happens is that a man, he starts right now focusing on what his wife is saying. He doesn't try to communicate with her. He just basically thinks that she talks just like him. So he waits for a few minutes. And, for example, a couple of minutes, he finds that, you know, his wife, she's saying, well, you know, I didn't want to say something to you, you know, the last night. And she's just basically trying to communicate with him. And the guy, he's just waiting for the part, the most important part. And it doesn't show up. So he get tired because he starts focusing on what the information he's getting from that to analyze and give a response. But he doesn't get that. So he starts getting busy with something else. Work on the laptop, flipping channels or pages or whatever. And that upsets his wife. He says, are you listening? He would say, yeah, I'm listening. Just go ahead. Keep talking. And she knows that he's not listening, actually. So therefore, men, they need to understand that when their wife's talking to them, they're not necessarily giving them information to seek solutions. They're just talking to them to communicate. So listen to them. And then after, alhamdulillah, you know, you listen, they will feel good about themselves. I remember the same thing happened one time, you know, between me and my wife. She always wanted to go and travel to see her family overseas. And we were discussing that, when it's going to happen and so on. Every time we discuss this, we find it's kind of difficult to do it this time. So let's, inshallah, wait until some other time, better time to travel and so on. And then one time she felt very, very upset and tired, actually. So we came together and started, you know, talking to her, seeing possibilities, what to do if this is the case, if we got this one, this route, this place and so on. And at the end, I decided, okay, fine, inshallah, start calling the company and look for the flight. She said, Jazakallah khair, thank you very much, there's no need for that right now. Which means what? She just basically wanted to talk, wanted somebody to listen. And when she finds someone that listens, of course, she would feel comfortable with that. But if people and men, that's what happens with them. They don't really give that full attention to their spouse. And their spouse feel bad about them not listening to them. Crisis approach and coping with stress. If a man is in trouble, what does he usually do? Let me give you a scenario. Someone, he goes to work, and then he got fired. And he goes back to his house. What does he do usually? What is it? Say nothing. And his wife, by the way, women, they're very smart, and they can read minds. Men, they cannot do that. So you basically cannot hide your problems from your wife. She can read that, she can sense that, subhanAllah. They can really say through it. But men, they don't. Because they're indifferent, probably, in some cases. So he doesn't speak. Basically, he keeps quiet. And the wife, she wants, of course, to come to him to see, you know, what's the problem. She tries to, basically, to talk to him. And the man, of course, he thinks that, no, it's not the time to talk. He keeps quiet. Why does he keep quiet? Because achievement for men is something essential to prove themselves. And for him, if he's in trouble, how is he going to solve his problem? He wants to do that himself. So he doesn't want anybody to interfere, especially his wife. Because he thinks that if his wife interferes and knows about the problem, she's going to feel that he's incompetent. And being incompetent to him, you know, in the eye of his wife, is a disaster. So he tries to avoid giving her the problem. So he keeps, you know, just withdrawing. This happens at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of those examples we just narrated to you, the story of the Ila. The Prophet was upset and he was there, by himself, alone, withdrawing from everybody, actually. Even when Umar al-Khattab, he sought permission, what was the response? Silence. The Prophet didn't say anything. He kept silent because he was upset. He's just basically thinking about the situation. Same thing, Aisha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كَانَ إِذَا حَزِبَهُ أَمْرُ he used to grab, actually the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to grab on his beard. Means when the Prophet is actually focusing, basically he's not communicating with anybody, he's grabbed his beard and starts, you know, just thinking about the situation. They know that he is trying to solve something. When the Prophet ﷺ, during the Battle of Al-Khandaq, he received the news that the Jewish tribe, they betrayed and they breached the treaty with them. What did he do? He withdrew to his tent. He didn't speak with anybody. And he remained quiet. Same thing when the Prophet ﷺ, his companions did not obey the command of shaving and slaughtering their animals during Al-Hudaybiyah. He went to his tent to Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he was very upset. Then when she gave him the advice, he came out. He didn't talk to anybody. He just finished, you know, the job by himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So men, they try to cope by remaining silent. And in order to get, of course, and to be more focused, what do? They withdraw physically. Withdrawing physically, it means they're going to go somewhere where they cannot see anybody, nobody can see them. And usually if they have, for example, an office, they go to the office, close the door, or probably they would go to their bedroom and just, you know, lie down and close the door or just relax. Women, they cope with stress in a different way. When they're panicked, what do? They want someone to talk to. They want to have somebody that can listen to them. So usually the first person on their face would be the husband. And if the husband is not cooperative because he doesn't understand the nature of women, they get depressed. So what do? They go to the phone and they start calling their friends, their family members, talk to anybody. They need someone to listen to them. So they need to talk in order to take those the problem out. Men, they keep the problem in. So when women see the problem in men, they try to take them out. By what? Asking them what is the problem. And that's when it starts, of course, the tension starts. Men trying to be quiet to focus more, and women try to spread out, you know, and basically talk about it. So she goes thinking that her husband needs to talk just like her. She goes and said, "What's the problem?" "Nothing." "Well, there must be something wrong. I told you nothing." And then she said, "Okay." She goes and she comes back again. "Are you sure there's nothing bothering you?" I said, "Nothing. That's it." Then she goes back again. But definitely because she would love to help, she thinks that he needs to talk. She goes back again. "I can see it in your face. You cannot hide it. There is something bothering you. You have to talk about it." Then the guy, he gets upset and he says, "You know what? Salaam alaikum." And he walks out. That depresses him and her. Because her, she thinks that, you know, he's resisting her help and they're not trying to communicate with each other, probably because he hates her and so on. And that's when she starts telling him, "So you don't listen, you don't want me to talk to you, so you hate me, you don't like me, you don't love me anymore, you don't give me attention anymore." And then he starts, you know, the argument goes, "Subhanallah, this is not the situation, just leave me alone, salaamu alaikum, I'm leaving." And when that, of course, would not help them to solve anything. So men, they need to understand, when their wives are in trouble, they need to talk. So listen to them. Don't give any offers. Don't, you know, just let them talk. Help them. And try to, of course, to give them a chance to talk more even. But for men, if you see your husband is actually overwhelmed and he's completely stressed out, give him the chance. Give him the space. And you give him the time and he will come out, inshallah, by himself. The motivation power. When do men give and women? When do women give and when do men give? What motivates the man to work for his family? When he sees that they need him. When the man sees that his wife, she needs him, he is proudly going outside to work and strive and struggle to bring the goodies at the end of the day. Basically to win the bread and come back with it. So he'd be so proud of that. Because his wife needs him and his children need him. When do women give? Women give when they are cherished. So if you nourish them, and you show them love, you care for them, they, mashallah, I mean, they shine, basically. And usually, men are more important in the house than men. And there's an expression, I learned that actually from older people in Bosnia, in Europe. Women, that's what I'm saying right now. How is that? They say that the woman is just like the furnace in the house. When it's on, it's too hot. When it's off, it's too cold. And that's true. If the wife or the woman actually is not in the right mood, I mean, everything is horrible. It's going to go horrible at home. If she's in the best mood, mashallah, everything is cool and good. So it's very important to keep, you know, the mother and the wife in the best mood. Because that's going to bring happiness to everybody. A husband can manage his life. But if his wife is not happy, if his mom is the mother is not happy at home, I mean, she's going to create actually a big mess at home. Basically, everything is going to be ruined. She's not going to listen. She's going to be, compelling sometimes and so on. So you have, of course, to cherish your spouse in order to receive from her. And for men, they have to see that their wives need them in order, of course, to give. And that, of course, they say also that not to be needed for a man, not to be needed is just like a slow death in family life. So if the man sees that his wife is completely independent, she's independent from him financially, emotionally, I mean, so what are they living for together? So he starts looking for a second wife, another wife that, you know, needs him truly. They get emotion, of course, in this situation. Women, they always need to show that they're in need of their husbands, and that's the essence of qiwama, the guardianship, so that men can feel proud when they give, because they feel that they really need them. At the same time, men, they also need to offer and give in order to receive from their spouses, inshallah ta'ala. Now, how to express the feelings through different languages? We will come to the language part, inshallah ta'ala, after this one. And the last is our emotional differences. Our emotional differences. You know, our hormones go through a cycle almost every month. And in some people's case, it probably happens every week and every day. Those cycles, you know, causes people to get emotionally stressed out. How do they release the pressure? How do they release, of course, the stress? Men usually, they act like a rubber band, which means, you know, they stretch out all the way out, and then what? It has a limit. And when you stretch them out, when men stretch out, where do they go? Away from what? From the center. So they stretch them out all the way out, and then there's no extra limit. Actually, this is one of the final limit where they can go. And then what happens to them? They snap back where? To the center again. And how fast they go back? Very, very fast. And that what happens to men. When they are stressed out, they need some space. So they go away from their wives. That's when they draw physically sometimes, and even emotionally. When they don't want to share thoughts or talk to their wives. So give them this space. Okay, what happens if the wife interferes? You know what happens? She's the center, and he's stretching out away from her. If he goes right here, she moves back to him. He goes back here, she moves towards him. They keep moving like this. What happens? He will never reach his limit. And if he doesn't reach his limit, what happens? He won't come back. So just give him some time. He will come back. And when he comes back fast. And when he comes back fast, he comes back even happy. Happy for couples and married people. I'm definitely, you know, definitely had this experience. The husband is upset. The wife goes, tries to take him out from his cave, and she tries with him, and he refuses, and then she gets upset. Or maybe he himself upsets her in the morning, and then he takes his space out, and then when he relaxes, he comes back to his wife, happy. As if nothing happened. So he tries, of course, to joke with her, smile with her, and she doesn't get it. I mean, just a few minutes ago, you were offending me. I didn't listen to me. You didn't want to hear me. Now you're acting as nothing has happened? Naturally, that's how men act. It's not that they're faking it, but they're just basically acting as men. But women, they act in a different way. They don't act like this rubber band theory. Actually, they act like waves. Which means, sometimes they're, mashallah, at the peak of this wave, and they're very, very happy and excited. But all of a sudden, they drop down. When they drop down, they get completely depressed. Completely depressed. And when they're depressed, they basically beat themselves down. It doesn't mean that they're blaming the husband. It's just they think that they're not, you know, they do not really deserve this attention. They basically keep beating themselves down again, saying, you know, I really don't deserve you. I don't deserve all this attention from you or love. I'm the bad person in this family. You know, I don't have anything, that interests you in me. And all these kind of, you know, feelings. Now, the husband sometimes, when he hears those words from her, he gets upset because if he thinks that she's blaming him for those feelings. So he says, you know what? That's true. You really don't deserve that. And he even makes things worse for her. Because in those situations, women usually, they need, you know, assurance and confidence. So when they start beating themselves down, they need the husband to tell them, don't worry, I'm here next to you, I'll be with you. Not necessarily giving or offering any solutions, just stay there, right there, next to them. Help them, not physically probably, but just, you know, be around. And when they are cherished and they see that you really understand them, they would simply, automatically they would go up. Men sometimes, they go again, as I said, trying to solve the problem for her. Say, what's the situation, what's the problem? You want to go to your mom? I'll drive you right now. Or they try to play smart. Let's go and have dinner outside. She says, no, I don't want anything like that. Come on, we can enjoy some time, inshallah ta'ala, there, without the kids even. We can drop the kids, you know, to our parents' house and so on. She's not interested. She just needs some time just to take this basically out. How would she do that? If you give her a chance, she will come back easily, inshallah ta'ala. It might take some time. And in some cases, usually, especially, you know, takes years for women to discover that they have, you know, accumulated a lot of stress and pressure. So they go all the way down to the bottom. It won't be very easy to go up. But they need some time and they need confidence and assurance from the husband. So for many women, actually, when they start treating their husbands like this, it doesn't mean that they hate the husband. They're just basically testing his love. They want him to be so close. And men, they get the message the wrong way, and they act accordingly, of course, so they make the situation even worse. So you need to understand the emotional cycles between men and women differently. Wallahu a'lam. Any questions? Yes. I said it depends on the culture. It depends on the culture. Usually it's acceptable in cultures like this, so it's fine. Also, actually, something I want to mention really. If people, they get overwhelmed with emotions, that they could not hold themselves, for example. So they act accordingly, there is nothing wrong with it. And it happened with Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab. I gave the story actually to the brothers over here. The story is Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab, and Abdullah was very well known for being strict, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in one battle in Iraq, he had in his share a female slave. She was very, very beautiful, that he could not hold his affection, his attraction to her, that he kissed her in public. And who did that? Abdullah ibn Umar al-Khattab. I mean, it doesn't mean that, you know, it justifies to do that in public, but he said that he could, actually the narrator said that he could not control himself, he just kissed her in public. So, for example, in the airport, a man expecting his wife, or the wife expecting her husband, and he comes, you know, so when he sees his wife, he couldn't hold himself, he just hugged her. I mean, we cannot say anything about it. But if it goes beyond that, he will say, where do you think you're going? I mean, just, you know, wait until, you know, you go home. Now, brothers, any question? Yeah. Well, it's a sensitive, actually, situation. I mean, usually I would say, conservative cultures, they try not to show any affections in front of their children. And affections means sitting even close to each other, holding hands, talking nicely, looking into the eyes. They don't even show that. And I'm sure, you know, those people, older generation, they have never actually experienced something like this in front of their kids. But there is nothing in Sharia that limits, you know, showing affection as long as it does not, of course, code of modesty in general. For example, being together, close to each other, holding hands. Even if you want to say, for example, an innocent kiss, which means goodbye kiss or welcoming kiss, it's something that even if it happens in front of the kids, it is something actually normal, as long as it doesn't show those strong affections. Wallahu a'lam. That stimulates, of course, sexual desire. That's unjust. The way you're saying it, it's unfair. So I say the solution for this is to go for counseling. If not, then she needs to seek help, of course. Call, for example, a local imam or local advisor and seek help on this issue. I mean, I cannot give you an answer for this right now. It needs counseling. It needs to be the root of the problem, what is exactly you're talking about, how far did it go, and so on, to discuss, of course, the solution for it. But counseling is very important. Wallahu a'lam. Last question. They're smart. I mean, I understand what you say. For example, she says, we want to do this, for example, this summer. Fine, we'll do it, inshallah ta'ala. Which means what? Yeah, fine. We'll talk about it later. I mean, you cannot just keep delaying, you know, these things, these issues, or basically, I would say, disrespect your spouse this in this way. I mean, you have to, of course, understand that she has also, you know, her identity, her character, and she wants us to prove herself with you. So if you're going to always treat her just like nothing, you know, whatever she suggests is not worth anything. You have also to praise that, inshallah, ta'ala, that her suggestions, take, of course, advice from her. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ did when he took the advice of Salama radiallahu ta'ala, and that saved the whole Muslim ummah during the Hudaybiyah time. So always just, you know, disrespecting the opinions of the spouse. Now, this is disrespectful. Wallahu a'lam. Moving right now, inshallah, to the different languages of love. How to communicate love at home. As I said, people that speak different languages. When I say people speak in different languages, it means when your wife, for example, says, if you say, for example, I love you, you know, she has a processor in her mind that processes those words and see if those words really mean, for example, her own language. And if she sees that the word does not match what she, how she defines the language of love, then she'll definitely give you another answer. She said, no, I don't believe you, you're lying. And then she, of course, she defines the love the way she thinks it is. And those are the major, actually, languages of love. The first one is words of affirmation. Usually, some men, they like to hear, especially men, they like words of, you know, of affirmation, which means complimentary words. If the husband does something good, He likes to hear from his wife to say, Jazakallah khair. Wow, that's very nice. MashaAllah, this is good. Whatever he does, you know, sometimes the man, he spends 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours in front of the computer. And that's, of course, was taken from his wife. His wife comes, you know, do you want to eat? No, not yet. You know what? Bring me a sandwich. Or bring me, for example, salad. Can I have a cup of coffee, tea? And she's just busy trying to pull him out from the office just to get, you know, relax, take a break. She gets upset outside. And after he's done 5 hours in the, you know, on the computer to do something for the family, for instance, not playing, of course, on the computer, but just, you know, he's doing something beneficial. He comes back, he says, Alhamdulillah, I'm done. She says, that's it? Why don't you go and stay for another 2 hours? He feels guilty. Why? Because he thinks that, you know, she's not appreciating his work. So instead she would say, Jazakallah khair. Wallah, I know that you're tiring yourself so much, but I would really appreciate if you just take a break and come, inshallah, next time and have a cup of coffee with me. He would say, you know what, you're right. You should have done that that way. She can use different way of, you know, communicating love to him. Say, I care for you. That's what does it mean. I care for you. I understand that you're doing this for us, but in the same time, be careful. Take time, take your break, inshallah, and let's enjoy some time having a cup of coffee or lunch or dinner together. Same thing. For example, with the ladies, women. Some of the women, they, of course, they also like words of compliment. For example, when the husband comes back, she prepares, for example, a new setup in the house, and then she stands like this when he comes in, which means what? She's waiting to hear from him. Wow, what is this? The guy comes in, takes his shoes off, says, "Assalamu alaikum." And the lady, the poor lady, she's waiting for those words of compliment that comes from him. That's it? Man. She goes back again. What even makes it worse, if she prepares the session and she has the dinner, mashallah, ready, she made a great achievement. And then she went and she fixed herself for him. Then he comes in, Assalamu alaikum. Doesn't even pay attention. What she does, she goes actually back to her room, take off her makeup, you know, dishevel her hair, comes out to see what he's going to say. So, women also sometimes need to hear words like, MashaAllah, you're so beautiful. Oh my God, look at this makeup. Today you look wonderful. Even if she looks horrible. And those are the Prophet ﷺ gave us the permission to lie about these things. Same thing, the food. The food tastes horrible, but you have also to say, oh, mashallah, I know that you spend a lot of time, you know, preparing this. I really appreciate it. You are a wonderful cook. As much as possible, of course. So words of affirmation are very important. Also, your voice tones makes a difference. I mean, when you speak it sincerely, it comes out nicely. And you say, wallahi, mashallah, I really appreciate your job. Jazakallah khair. This is great. It's not like saying, you know, that was good. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah khair. I mean, come on. It's not going to help with anything. Same thing with the spouse, the wife. When she says to her husband, I love you, that's what he expects from her to hear from that from one time to time. It's not like saying, I love you. The voice itself makes a big difference. So you need also to know how to say the words of affirmation. Tell her, for example, I love you in a nice way. Also, when you thank her for something, thank her in a way that it's also nice and beautiful. Words of respect also. I mean, I know usually, as I said, when people, they get married, they take each other for granted. So they stop using the beautiful and polite words like, excuse me, if you don't mind, if you will, stuff like that. He says, hey, can you give me a cup of coffee? Because now they're taking each other for granted. It's over. He stopped saying, honey, dear, my love, excuse me, if you don't mind. Things like those, you know, they would definitely nourish and nurture love in their life. Men, especially men, they feel it very, very, very hard and difficult to use the word, I love you. It's tough. I mean, basically, if you ask a man to say, I love you to his spouse, he basically would trying to clear his throat and take some time, probably even practice this in front of the mirror before he even tries to do that. It's tough, difficult. Why? Because they think love is through their achievements. They don't have to say that. And they think that if they're going to admit this love to their spouse, this is going to be a sign of weakness. And they're very afraid to admit that. Simply, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he admitted his love to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And even his wife, they knew about that. They said that he could not control himself in front of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And when Aisha got, you know, remember the story when she was arguing with the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr Siddiq comes in. And then when Abu Bakr Siddiq left, the Prophet, he went back seeking, you know, her satisfaction. Again, saying, fine, you know, you see that I helped you against your father, you know, why don't you forgive me for this and so on. He's trying to be kind with his wife sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So men, they need to exercise those things, these words. Women also need to exercise. So if you're married, inshallah ta'ala, from this evening, when you go home, use a beautiful word wherever actually you go and whatever you see from your wife and spouse and so on. Even if they don't ask you to do it. For example, the man, he comes and he sees the trash, and usually that's what men do, usually. When they see the trash is overflowing actually, what they do, and they have, let's say, a cup of soda, and it's empty, just open it, and then what they do, they squeeze it in, they throw their can, and then they just close it. If it closes. It doesn't click in their mind that they need to take the bag out, tie it up, send it out, put another one. Doesn't click. Unless the wife says, Subhanallah, why don't you just take it out? Well, I think it's your job, it's not my job. Imagine that now, Subhanallah, in the middle of the day, you see your wife is very busy in the kitchen, and you come to the trash can, you see it's overflowing. So what do? Just without even saying anything. Just go and bring another bag, take it out, tie it up, throw it away, and put the new one. If the wife sees that, she needs to say, Jazakallah khair. Barakallah, oh thank you very much. If it was for something like this, never mind, say it. Same thing, if she, for example, while you're studying, or you're working, or you're doing something on your computer and so on, she brings you a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. That would be wonderful if you say, MashaAllah, that was very sweet. I really appreciate that. Give them word like this, it would definitely encourage them to do more. Second, quality time. The quality time. And this is especially for women. And sometimes for men, mostly for women. Women, they like to have quality time with their husbands. What do we mean by quality time? It means when you sit together, you need to sit together fully. It means completely sitting together with full attention. And I know most men, when their wives, they call them, let's say he's working again on the computer or in the garage fixing his car as usual. So she comes and she says, dear, I want to really speak to you. She said, fine, go ahead. She said, no, I really want to talk to you. Yeah, I'm listening. She's not asking you to talk right now. She's basically telling you, give me a time. Set an appointment, basically. You would tell her, okay, I'm finishing this, inshallah, and in 10 minutes, I'll be with you. Can you fix a cup of tea for us? And we will come and talk together, inshallah. You know how much she would appreciate you leaving your work or finishing it quickly for her and go and sit together just to talk. And when you talk, you give her the full attention. Women, they hate that when you talk, or when they talk to you, you start joking about their words. And that's what men mostly do. When their wives, they start talking, they start saying, you know, this is very silly, oh, this is funny, and they start, you know, acting like clowns. And they hate that from them. Why? Because, as the brother just said, you know, the wife, she brings, for example, an idea. Why don't we do that? And the guy, he says, what? I mean, this is ridiculous. You disappoint her. She feels guilty and bad. And therefore she keeps withdrawing from you. I mean, you always need to appreciate. Even if the idea was not remarkable to you or wonderful, you still need to appreciate that, you know, the time that you're spending together. So you have to give full attention for that. Quality time means no TV on, no newspaper or magazine in front of you, no laptop or computers, nothing. It's just you and your wife talking, paying attention to what she's saying. Remember Hadith Zara, the long Hadith? Did you try to read it in English? It's easier to read it in English than reading it in Arabic, by the way. In Arabic, it's longer, the expressions are longer, and the words are more difficult. So reading Hadith Zara, you would realize how much the Prophet ﷺ, how much attention he gave to his wife. He was listening to the story, and if you listen to it, if you read the story, I mean, sometimes it doesn't even make any sense. I mean, what's the matter of 10 women coming together talking about their husbands? What's the big deal? But the Prophet ﷺ listened to her with full attention, and then he gave her feedback. says, I'm going to be for you like Abu Zar was for Umm Zar. So you give, of course, this quality time for your spouse and your wife. Same thing. The husbands also, they need quality time sometimes with their wives. And when I say quality time, it means, let's say, the husband wants to be intimate with his wife, and then the wife, she says, I'll be with you in 5 minutes, inshallah ta'ala. And then he goes and he, let's say, he fixes the session and he prepares everything and so on, and she comes with the baby. So he says, oh my God. Didn't you know, couldn't you just send him back to his bed? Well, he's going to sleep, inshallah, in a few seconds. And he spends the whole night with them. Or probably, for example, another thing, that he wants to spend some time with her and she's busy doing something else in the kitchen or in the laundry and so on. So sometimes men, they demand this quality time on the wrong time. But women, they need to be considerate also. And the way they request from their husband to leave their work, sometimes they also need to leave this work and give them their attention. Receiving gifts. Other people, the language of love is about receiving gifts. They love to receive gifts. And especially during the betrothal period, both parties, they were exchanging gifts a lot. The Prophet ﷺ said that clearly, تَهَادُوا تَحَابُ. And if you give gifts, if you exchange gifts, that increases love between you. Imagine this is happening between a husband and wife. And I know in most cases, men and women, after, of course, spending some time in marriage, they stop bringing gifts for their wives. Instead, what they do, they give them cash. See, here's the money, you buy it for yourself. I mean, sometimes your wife, she really wants you to go to the department and you buy the thing for her and surprise her with it. I know, men, they get annoyed when they go there, they buy the stuff, and they get confused usually, men, because they don't know what to buy, really. Because they have a different philosophy in buying. Women, when they go shopping, they don't necessarily go to buy. They just go to watch and enjoy the beauty of the new material coming out. So they grab, for example, this, let's say, dress, and she says, oh, this is beautiful and nice. Wow, it's so cool. The husband looks at the tag immediately. Says, $80? Forget it. She looks at him, man, you're so mean. She's not even interested in buying it. She would tell him, who told you I'm going to buy it? She's just looking at it. And then she moves to another place. She goes and looks at another thing. Oh, this is so sweet. She makes the same mistake, speaking loudly. So the guy, he comes again. I can afford that. I mean, that's too much for me. Subhanallah, who's still telling me that I'm going to buy it? I'm just looking at it. Because men, they think immediately about their budget and pocket. Women, they just want to enjoy seeing things. And probably they would spend hours and hours shopping and coming out with nothing. Why? Because that wasn't their interest. For men, they are so proud of going to the Walmart, for example, and having the list, buying everything on the list, and then they look at their watch and say, Alhamdulillah, in 15 minutes, wow, that was great. So that's why when they go shopping together, and usually husband and wife, they don't go shopping together. It's difficult. I mean, if you see a man and woman going together to, shopping, oh my God. It must be a great stress for both of them. The husband is stressed out because he keeps looking at his watch. Says, are you done? What else we need? Show me what you have on your list. I can get it from there for you. Because they want to finish quickly. But for her, she's stressed out because the guy is not enjoying anything. This is a new item. And for women, when they see something says new, they want to see what is it. For husband, he says, well, it doesn't make any difference. It's the same, just like the other one. They just want to enjoy. It's not a matter of buying it. It's just, just give them some chance, some time to express themselves. So receiving gifts, going back again to receiving gifts. The concept is that you buy her something and you offer it to her. It's not that you give her the cash or the credit card and tell her, go and buy it yourself. Same thing with the wife. The husband, sometimes, really, he needs to see something from his wife. And I know usually men go and buy stuff. Women, they don't really do that. Because, men, they buy their own stuff. And when you go actually and buy gifts, make sure that you buy the right gift. And when I say the right gift, not necessarily the exact thing that she needs, but basically, you understand it's something that it's women's stuff. As we said, if you, for example, into tools, don't go to Home Depot and buy, let's say, a lawnmower for her. Say, this is for you. Where she's gonna do with it? It was cheap. Believe me, it was on sale. No? Or for example, the wife, because she likes, for example, other stuff at home, things for the house, for example, she goes and she buys, for example, some crystals for her. And the guy, he just looks at it and says, wow, this is cool. Then he thinks, what am I going to do with this? She will give him ideas. Why don't you just put it, in the bedroom? Or put it here or there? Basically, she's buying these things for her because she liked it. Now, when you buy something for your husband, think the way men would think about their gifts. Same thing, when you buy a gift for your wife, think the way women would think about gifts. Don't think, how men would like these things. Oh, this is, mashallah, a beautiful laptop. She's going to love it. No, she's not. Believe me. But for a wife to see, oh, this is, my husband will definitely love this thing. She can buy that for him. And when you say receiving gifts, not necessarily also. Receiving gifts, they don't have to be expensive. You can make them yourself. How about a gift card, for example? Or even for a postcard. Just if you travel around a lot, why don't you, wherever you go, just send her a postcard. Sometimes even surprising her with things like this. How about text message? Just, when you're away, just send her a text message. A few beautiful words that she likes to hear from you, for example. Flowers can make, the difference, and they create miracles. So you need to learn how to use, of course, the right gift and give it the right way also. So, be smart when you give gifts. It doesn't have to be expensive. Just do it, and at the same time, do it in a smart way. Do it, give some intermissions. Don't bring gifts every day. This is not smart. And don't buy the same thing every time. So you have to alternate, change, and take turns on occasion and so on. Acts of service, number 4, inshallah. Most women, they speak this language, which means that's what they understand from their husband. Acts of service. Acts of service, meaning that when the husband comes in at home and he sees the toys everywhere, and he looks indifferent completely, there's nothing bothers him, around. Women, they get tired and, exhausted from this. She said, how, didn't you see that around you? Why don't you just pick it up with you? Well, I didn't even see it. And that's even how makes drives women crazy even. That everything is completely a mess at home, and the husband doesn't even see that. And seriously, the man doesn't even see that. He's not paying attention to it. Why? Because it's not his focus. When he comes into the house, he's focused into one direction. Whether it's the bathroom, or his office, or to the kitchen. Depends, of course, on his needs. So when he's focused, he doesn't really see these things. But imagine that the husband comes in and he sees his wife very busy in the kitchen. And he sees the kids, they have messed up everything. What he does, he starts picking up those things without even asking her or telling her. And then he goes and he brings, for example, the vacuum and starts vacuuming the house. Imagine how much this will change her. How much would she appreciate something like this from you? Or probably she's fixing the food, of course, and the kids come from school, for example. Someone is trying to change, the other is asking, where's my socks, where's my pajama, and this and that and so on. And she said, it's here, there, hold on a second. What if the husband says, don't worry, I'll take care of it, inshallah. And you move from your office, and you move from in front of your computer, and go and help the kids. How would she see that? Same thing, acts of service, most women, they love to see their husband, giving a helping hand. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Aisha narrated, radiallahu ta'ala anha, كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ أو فِي خِدْمَةِ أَهْلِهِ. He was always, basically, in the service of his family, at their disposal. Whenever they needed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's there helping. So she said that sometimes he used to sweep the house, he used to take care of the sheep, milk, of course, the goat, and even he used to fix his own shoes, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't wait his wife to do that for him. He would do it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but if his wife, she would see him doing it, she would definitely come and say, I'll take care of it. Let me do it for you. Same thing, if the husband, he starts doing something for her at home, you will find your wife, out of course, her love to you, she would say, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. I'll do it. Give me just a few seconds and so on. So most women, they would love to see acts of service. Same thing, men also would love to see acts of service from their wives. Again, when they're busy doing something, whether it's in the backyard, for example, or in front of the computer, Now, how would this person feel if his wife automatically she senses that he needs, you know, something to refresh his mind with? So she goes and fixes a cup of tea, juice, or maybe some fruit salad, or even chocolate comes with it, whatever she fixes, you know, and then she brings that next to him. She said, just basically, you know, looking at him, giving him that nice look, that smile, Jazakallah khair. I know you're spending so much time. Just, I want you to drink this. And they will definitely will tell him a lot that she loves him, she cares about him. Acts of service also, if the husband, for example, is interested in da'wah, for example, and he's busy preparing for some flyers or books or this and that, he would love to see his wife helping with that. He would love. But something I want you both to understand, all of you actually to understand, that if you have a certain interest, that does not necessarily mean your wife would have the same interest into it. So if you're interested in da'wah, don't expect your wife to be also a da'ya. Same thing, women, if they are interested in, let's say, socializing, don't expect your husband to be a social being. It means he doesn't have to go to all those sessions and gatherings that you are interested in going to, because you have your friends going there. So you have also to understand the nature of each other and try to compromise in most cases, inshallah ta'ala. So what they do, they go for the expensive things to buy for their wife. So they wait until they have something like $500, $1,000, and they buy it once in their lifetime. So they say, I brought you this. And then the wife, she says, well, I have 10 of these actually. Probably not the same quality, but I mean, I have 10. Why do I need another one for it? So women, they don't care about the physical value. They just care about the moral value. I mean that when their spouse is just thinking about them, remembering them, with bringing a gift, it's more than enough. The example of this brother, please take off the recording of that story. The brother, flowers, chocolate, made a difference in his life. So exchange gifts, inshallah ta'ala, would be very important in your life. The quality time again. Subhanallah, I mean, if you decide, let's say, you have a whole week to spend with your friends at work and so on, and then you have the weekend off. During the weekend, give her some time. Give him some time, her some time, and say, this is for you. 1 hour, 2 hours, 15 minutes, regardless, you know, of the duration of that period. But when you do it, don't do it in a formal session. I mean, don't say, this is your time right now. Let's go to the office. It's not an office hour. It should be informal. It means that you go, for example, outside, if you have a balcony, or you go if they have a backyard, or anywhere in the house, sit together and spend some time. Also, use the language of the eye. In general, it's the body language, especially the eye. How much would it cost you, you know, when your wife, she's busy working in the kitchen, going back and forth here and there, bringing the food and so on, and while you're sitting there waiting for your dish to come in front of you, you look at her like this and smile. And she looks at you and says, what's up? What are you looking at? You tell her, Jazakallah khair, you really look wonderful. Well, come on, look how do I look like, and so on. She basically said, honestly, you look wonderful. Jazakallah khair. I see how much, you know, you struggle and tired and so on. It's not going to cost you that much. Just, you know, those beautiful looks. Same thing, the wife. How much would it cost her if, you know, if her husband is doing something, let's say, in the backyard or probably in the garage, and she goes there and she sees him, you know, the sweat everywhere and he's struggling, you know, with the machines and so on. And she, from behind the window, she knocks on the window and she just basically tells him, the man wouldn't get it, of course. He said, what? She said that again. What did you say? Then he leaves everything, he goes back to the kitchen. What did you say? She said, nothing. I love you. Oh. Just be smart. Again. Actually, there's a hadith. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had the same probably session with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually busy doing something, and she noticed the sweat on his forehead. So she looked at that, and she was looking at it, and she was basically just like surprised because it was shining. So the Prophet ﷺ looked at her and he saw the way she looks and he said, what are you looking at? So she, of course, she gave him, of course, a beautiful poetry in the Arabic language. And the Prophet ﷺ was, you know, pleased by those words, that he stood up, he went to Aisha and he kissed her on her forehead, between her eyes. Radiallahu ta'ala anha. You know, also part of being smart in marital life is that you need to exchange beautiful words, sometimes poetry. You don't have to say them, you can just write them down, you know. As I said, use your computer, for example, screensaver, change it for her. And when she opens the computer, she sees, for example, a beautiful word coming out, and, you know, something that would really excite her and so on. Do your job. Be smart. There are a lot of beautiful words and poetry in Arabic language, and I'm sure that in different languages also, in Urdu and Farsi. I don't know about English, to be honest with you. Because this doesn't really sound beautiful in poetry. But those languages, Arabic, Farsi, Urdu, because they have a rhythm for the poetry, it always sounds beautiful. Just like an example, when a poet was speaking about his the lover, of course, he says, about talking about her, he says, وَلَوْ تَفَلَتْ فِي الْبَحْرِ وَالْبَحْرُ مَالِحٌ لَأَصْبَحَ الْبَحْرُ مِنْ رِيقِهَا عَذْبًا. Which means that if she spits into the sea, when the sea is salty, the water of the sea will return back fresh because of her saliva. Something like this, made in beautiful poetry. Use, for example, poetry like this. Look for it, search for it. You have the book of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, the book of Imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah ta'ala, books of other scholars, you will find beautiful poetry. I cannot give you everything over here, actually. And again, the key is to be smart. Also,